to begin by thanking all of you for helping me out. This year I've been assigned to work on the parking detail, and I certainly appreciate all the cooperation that we have had from all of you. Appreciate your courtesy, and I think we have done very well as far as parking is concerned. We had a few problems. We've been able to work those out, so I do want to thank you. I hope all of you have been enjoying the direction that we have been giving you in the parking lots. And I think it's always interesting every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, as you are parking, to observe all of the different types of directors you will get in the parking lot. I think you all know what I mean. I've kind of labeled a few of the fellows that I've seen out there. Some of these individuals, you have to picture in your mind how they are directing you. We've got one fellow out there that must aspire to be a shot putter because he goes like this. We've got another fellow out there that I guess he doesn't figure that he'll make it as far as being in the field events and athletics, but he's aspiring to be a softball pitcher. Maybe you've seen him. He's the fellow that goes like this. Then we've got a man out there that I know he would rather be up in the mountains on these hot afternoons than being out in the parking lot. And I know that he wants to go fishing because he sits out there and it looks like he's casting his rod out on the water there. He goes like this. Now my favorite, or one of my favorite, I should say, is the fellow that you don't see until the last minute. You don't see him until the last minute. I call him the surprise. He hides behind the car. Just as you're pulling into the parking spot there, you wonder, well, how far do I go? When do I stop? And he jumps out from behind the other car and goes like this. And you about have a coronary. But I have given the award this year to my favorite personality out there. And I've entitled this man, I've labeled him Ouch. Because he's the fellow that goes like this. And you keep coming until bam. And he goes, ouch. I guess that's far enough. Well, we've really enjoyed it. We've had a lot of fun out there in the parking lot. We haven't lost anybody so far either, so we're batting very good. Well, you know, talking about the parking lot, parking here at the feast, you need direction in order to get all those cars parked in all those spots out there that we have. And we don't have a whole lot. You need direction. It's a very important thing. And direction is a very important thing in God's work as well. I have a question to ask you this morning. The question is, are you neutral about the direction God's work is taking now? Are you neutral about the direction that God's work is taking at this time? Because quite frankly, I think there are a number of people here at the Feast of Tabernacles that are neutral. They are not positive about what God is doing in His church. They aren't negative, but then they aren't positive. They're right in between. They're in a very dangerous position. They're neutral. And I know the problem exists because I've talked with people who are neutral. They are not behind what is being accomplished in God's work at this time. And it is a problem. Well, I've got a couple of points that I want to bring out, 3 points in particular, that will analyze this question that I've asked. The first point that you need to ask yourself is, do you know that Christ is working through His apostle in giving clear direction? Are you aware of that? Because I think some of us are not aware of that. We don't believe that fact. We have to be convinced in our mind that Christ, through His apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, is giving clear direction. very clear direction. It amazes me when I talk with people that I've known over the years that they ask questions that they should have been able to answer through the tremendous amount of material that has come out from Pasadena. Information that Mr. Armstrong has given in the worldwide news and pastors' reports, the general pastors' reports that we're able to receive. There should be no question as to the clear direction that God is giving through His apostle. Now, I think we have to go back, if we have questions, to some very clear principles once again. In Colossians 1, Colossians the first chapter, verse 17. This is talking about Christ and says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. He's the one that has created this world that we live in, that is in charge of this plan and purpose that is being worked out on earth here below. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. It's obvious that Christ is the head of the church. It is not a man, it is Christ. Now, Christ has appointed men to direct what He wants to be done on this earth. As we see over here in the book of Ephesians, very basic scriptures, Ephesians 4, notice in verse 11, and Christ, or He, gave some apostles. Now, how many apostles do you know? I know of one. I know of one apostle on this earth at this time. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To direct the body of Christ, it's just like the parking lot out here. We have to have someone that is the supervisor, that coordinates all of the parking, to make sure that we're all going to get in there and be parked properly. Well, God has someone doing that in His church. It is His apostle to give direction, to give clear direction. And we have had that clear direction. Mr. Armstrong is the individual that is giving us the knowledge that we need to know as far as what God wants to be accomplished, as far as making known to the world the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God, the world tomorrow, what it is going to be like. Mr. Armstrong has done a fabulous job. Now, some people have thought, well, now he's getting older. See, he's getting older. And maybe he's not as able to do it like he once did. He's losing touch. He doesn't have the clear mind that he needs. He's not able to make wise decisions. And he's being influenced by those that are very close to him, being influenced in a negative way. We have people that still think that way. Well, they can't really believe the scriptures that I just read. Colossians 1, Ephesians 4. They really don't believe those scriptures if they're thinking in that vein. Because Christ is the head of the church, and He has appointed those to edify the church. And those are still appointed. Those individuals still are on this earth. Mr. Armstrong, the evangelist, the pastors, the teachers, the direction that God wants to give through the ministry still exists. It's there. If we'll but just follow it. Another point that I want to bring out here in the sermonette, point two. Some are not getting clear direction. Some people are not getting the clear direction. Now, who's to blame for that? Well, first of all, they have to be responsible first and foremost. But then there is also a problem of just the influence that you have. Those of the brethren that are your close friends, those that are your relatives, even in the ministry. The ministry has problems with giving clear direction to the congregations. But that's being eliminated. That's being taken care of, brethren. We're going to have clear direction in God's church. You have to have that as we draw closer and closer to the end of this age so that we can have harmony. But there have been some people say, well, I just don't get the clear direction that I need. I've talked with people from certain church areas. They say, well, my minister, when he stands up, you know, he doesn't really say anything negative, but I don't hear a lot of information that is positive. So he's neutral, you see. He's not going to commit himself. And consequently, that affects a church area. It affects people. It affects their attitude. And a lot of times they don't even realize it, and they become kind of complacent. And they find themselves getting a little critical. Whereas if they were getting the proper inspiration from the lectern, they would be positive. They would be 100% behind all policies, all approaches to how we accomplish and do the work. They would be affected by that influence. But still comes down to the bottom line, and that is you are responsible to God. Now, we've had a number of defections from God's ministry. Well, it's our responsibility to stay close to God so that if someone decides they can't go along with the way the church is moving, the direction that God is inspiring, then you are not going to be influenced by that. You're going to be solid. You're going to know where God is and where He is working. So some people are not getting proper direction. I know that that can be a problem. I mean, it's like in our parking lot, for instance. Maybe you have seen a couple of fellows out there. You'll be driving along, and they'll be going like this. They'll be moving their fingers. Now, what do you do when the guy's moving his fingers? You don't know if go left, go right, stop, or what. It's confusing. He's not giving you a clear-cut directive. He's not saying here or over here. He's just going like this. I really don't know where you should go. And so, you know, we've had people, they come and they start to turn to the left, and all, they start to go back to the right. Finally, they just stop and look. They become neutral, don't they? They just have to, I don't know where to go. And there is a responsibility upon the ministry to give that direction. It has to be positive. And the ministry does have a tremendous influence over the congregations. We've seen that time and time and time and time again. So hopefully you're going to be getting positive direction. But notice what God says, that there's going to be people in the church, your friends, your relatives. We've already heard from one individual that, here his family has left God's church. His friends have left God's church. And I know that applies in my situation. I've had friends and relatives who have left God's church. They don't feel that we have the proper direction. Well, notice what it says over here in 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. It says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government or dominion. We're going to have people, now this is talking to the church, this is not talking to that your attitude toward the outside world around us, this is talking about the church here, people in the church. So we're going to have people that are walking after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and they despise government, they despise dominion, they're presumptuous, they are self-willed. They look at it a certain way. They say, well, now, I don't think we ought to be over in China. Say, I don't like the Chinese. I don't know. Maybe it's something from my background or whatever it is. They have an idea of how God's work should be accomplished at the same time, how Mr. Armstrong should be involved in accomplishing the twofold commission that we have. So they are presumptuous. They are self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Notice in verse 13. And these individuals shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. It's a curse. I have seen people that are negative toward the direction that God's church is going in. And they are some of the most miserable people I have ever run into. They can't sleep. They're frustrated. They get together. They got to talk over all these problems and these ills. And they're just frustrated. They're miserable. Well, when you are behind the direction that God's work is taking, you sleep soundly at night. You have sweet sleep. You don't go around upset and frustrated and just worried. So they receive the reward of unrighteousness. As they counted pleasure, or as those who counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Now notice what it says. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings. They deceive themselves. They think they're right. They think they understand, well, look, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. So they're sincere people. They're not evil, conniving individuals who say, we're going to do this because we know it's wrong, but we're going to gain from it. No, they're deceived. They think that they are right. Notice it says, while they feast with you. So we've got spots that feast with us here. Some of our brethren are spots. Now hopefully, we don't have a whole lot of those. I'm hoping that God's church is cleaned up to the degree that we don't have a whole lot of people here in Tucson that fit into this category. But knowing the way things go, I'm sure we do. We have spots. Now, what does it say over in Ephesians? We've already had it explained to us here at the feast in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's turn over there very quickly. Ephesians 5. And notice verse 27. This is talking about Christ. Talking about the husband-wife relationship, of course, as compared to Christ and the church, the relationship that should be there. Verse 27, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And we just read there in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 10, that there aren't going to be people in the church that are spots and blemishes, that they will be presumptuous, they will be self-willed, they will despise dignitaries, they do not like to be submissive to government and direction. I've seen them out on the parking lot. People who want to park where they want to park. Well, brethren, I hope this is not us. I hope this is not us, spots and wrinkles. And God says if we're of that frame of mind and that attitude, we should clean it up, get rid of it. The final point I want to bring out is that some are just not responding to God's direction through Christ at all. They're just not responding at all. They do not have faith. They do not have confidence. They do not have trust in the government that God has established in His church. They just do not have confidence. And you know what that leads to? When you don't have confidence, you don't respond, you have chaos. I know, I've seen it out on the parking lot. When people don't respond and they don't follow direction, you've got people going every which way. And you cannot have an organized parking detail out there. People are running after all these people that shouldn't be going over that direction or this direction. And you have chaos. You do not have harmony. You have disunity. And you can't get the job done. You get the job done a lot easier when everyone's in unison, when everyone's working together, when there is a unified effort behind the direction, whatever that direction may be. Now, we may tell you to park way down on the other end. Well, you need to go and park way down on the other end because we've already worked it out. It's going to flow better if we do it that way. I know even here at the Feast of Tabernacles, some people are upset about the housing situation that we have. They don't like the conditions where they are staying. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like going through the feast office. They don't like government. They want to do it their own way. But we've got to have harmony. And there is direction being given to us from the top down. And when we are in unison with that, we have harmony. Matthew 24 and verse 14. God said that this gospel that the worldwide Church of God teaches will be witnessed in all the world. Now the direction in which that gospel is being presented to the world is very clear. Mr. Armstrong has, let us know about that. If, once again, we open our eyes and we search, we're studying, we're close to God, we can see that direction. What we need to do as individuals is to follow that direction. Be 100% behind that direction. So in conclusion, brethren, I want to ask all of you to examine yourself, because I think we have a problem in God's church at this time. I think we have people that are neutral. They're not going to go in the direction that we're headed right now. They're going to wait and see. They're just going to stand back. They're going to become neutral. Well, when that happens, you see, you slow down the whole effort. You slow down the whole church. You slow down the ability to get the job done. You examine yourself. You ask yourself, do I have this approach? Am I even deceived and I don't realize it? Is this a subtle thing in my life? It's very clear. You ought to be able to come up with a clear answer to that. If you've got problems with what God is doing, the people God uses in His church, the direction the church is going, you'll be able to see that as you get down on your knees, as you fast, and I think some of us need to do that. And we'll analyze ourselves and see if we are deceived, if we are really neutral, and if we are, I hope, that we will make a commitment to clean that spot out of our life and be positively, 100% behind the direction God's work is going.